What's so great about?
Hello and welcome to What's So Great About It, the podcast that's been driving all night, my hands wet on the wheel. There's a voice in the head that drives my heel. It's my baby cause I need you, dear.
Okay, well.
And it's 4:30 and I'm shifting gear. My name's Terry.
My name's Andy.
Andy, you're the bloody hell, are you?
Very well, and you?
I too am well.
Good to hear it, pal.
Hey.
What a rendition. I didn't realise I had a tape recorder playing the actual song
here. Golden Earring, live in concert in this studio. Well, you may have picked up, you know, we're going to be talking about driving songs this week, our favourite driving songs. So
this was, you know, sometimes we have suggestions and it's like, as I was saying there, sometimes we have suggestions and it's, I'm like, yeah, okay, I think we can make that work. And then there's other times where we have suggestions and it's like, fucking hell yeah. This was a fucking hell yeah.
Thank you.
This was a joy to put together. And I think we should make the playlist available.
Put it in the show notes.
Yeah, because we put
link.
We both, me and Terry, we're going to talk about it at the
main event
in a little bit. But we each compiled. We have a shared playlist, and I have to say, Terry, I enjoyed some of your picks. I didn't just skip to mine this time. I actually enjoyed
shocking,
some. Oh, yeah.
Shocking.
How about that?
Yeah, I kind of was like, top five driving songs would be good, but then I was like, there's such a huge net to cast. And I was like, why don't we actually just flood the zone on the playlist and then we can just listen to them over the weekend while we're probably out driving.
I made a point of listening to it while driving. Because that's what a lot of producers, music producers say. It's like, what's the test if it sounds good? And everyone's like, Rick Rubin was saying the same. It's like, I go to my car, I play it in the car. And if it sounds good in the car, then, great.
That's good.
Take. And a lot of people I've heard say the same thing, that the car is really the optimal space.
It's a different feel, isn't it?
And I mean, I'll get to it when we're talking about it, but my car is a mobile therapy unit. It's a mobile stage. It's
stage.
Everything. I'm like, when I'm listening to a song that I like in the car, I am not shy about it.
Fantastic.
I belt it out. But we'll get to that. More importantly, Terry, how the bloody hell are you?
I've been good.
Yeah?
I've been good. Busy.
Let me stop you right there.
What's that?
I got something for you.
Oh, yeah?
I wanna get your take on this.
Is this a message?
If you don't mind. No, it's just topical to do with football. To do with your boys. Manchester United's biggest scale of financial waste, if I may, still lies in the interest cost of the Glazer family's leveraged buyout.
You don't want to hear my
now over
1 billion
incredibly poor football decisions, which have continued under Ineos's charge, like keeping Eric Ten Hag in the summer, spending circa 200 million on players suited to his style, then 10.4 million to sack him and his staff, paying 3 million to get Dan Ashworth, and then 4 million to axe him after 5 months, hiring Ruben Amorim and staff for 11 million with a squad so ill-suited to their approach and no money for the kind of rebuild necessary. Is that accurate?
Pretty accurate. You left out the part about, you know, I'm not pro Ineos.
Yeah.
But I'm definitely anti-Glazer. And
right.
I think it's criminal.
It's literally criminal.
It's criminal that they were able to get away with this takeover.
For non-football fans, in a summary, they basically bought the club. Leverage I hear the word leverage used a lot. I can never explain it when someone
asks. I don't even know how they bought it, because they took out a loan to buy the club and then put the loan onto the club's debt. So it's not even there. Like, and they have invested zero money in the club in coming up on 20 years in the club. No, not 1 cent.
Would you say
they've taken out dividend after dividend after dividend, and the interest on the loan, like you say, it's over a billion now.
Wow.
I think it's starting off at like 560 million or 600 million, something like that. Like,
is it the biggest? Is it one of the biggest bonehead financial plays in sporting history? Would you say?
Well, not for them, but like for the FA to allow it to go through.
Yeah,
wow. Like there's the regulatory commission. Like, this is the test study of like, oh no, we can't do that. You can't. And, that's not okay to do. Like,
yeah, I mean,
and like, it's like
you could not get away with it now.
It's crippled the club, you know,
like, literally. And like, forgive my ignorance, but when you say Ineos, who are Ineos?
Ineos is the company, Ineos. Like Jim Ratcliffe.
Oh, okay, it's him and his cronies.
Yeah, so Ineos is Jim Ratcliffe's company.
Oh, right.
So Jim Ratcliffe, Dave Brailsworth, like because they were Team Sky as well. Like he's got his fingers. He owns Nice. He owns some other Belgian club. I can't think of the name right now.
Yeah.
He's a very successful businessman. Like, he's a petrochemicals mogul.
Oh. I think
the Ineos...
One of the good guys, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Looking out for our futures. He is, like, company is worth upwards of 100 billion, I think. He himself has a net worth of closer to 20 billion.
Right.
So, anyway. A billion euro sponsorship deal, please, from Ineos next year. That would solve all our problems, right? That rule was scrapped there recently. I don't know if you saw that.
Oh, the sustainability thing? Like,
well, no, the PSR is still there. But like, there was a thing where it was like, you can't sponsor your own club.
Oh, right.
Like, because City, you know, were...
Yeah.
Etihad and stuff like that, like
all
linked, and then they challenged it, and like a tribunal was like, actually, these rules are unlawful.
Yeah, and now City are going to come at them for suing them for even fucking.
I don't know, but I still think. I mean, there was some financial expert there saying City could get upwards of 100 points deduction.
That would be like, so incredible.
But like, how does that work?
Is that actually, or is it like everything else in the world where you're like, they should be, whatever, fucking arrested. And do you know what's going to happen? In the words of Lemmy, fuck all.
Yeah.
Is that realistic?
But if it's 30 points a year for 6 years, I'd be like, okay.
Mm.
You know?
I'd quite like to see a straight 100 point deduction.
But like, so they get relegated, like.
Yeah. Yeah, like, so they get relegated immediately or whatever, or the next season they start on
minus 100. That'd be pretty funny, actually.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Just start there. Like, and then
wins in a row, we're up to minus 78.
Although it would be more crippling to go 30 a year, because then if
that Champions League money, like,
yeah, because they could just have one season of minus 100, they finish on minus 40, and then the next season it's a clean slate.
But they're relegated, you know what I mean? If they finish on minus 40, they're relegated.
Yeah, they wouldn't be relegated otherwise.
Yeah, so it happens. You know, anyway, United, there was something there I read today that if Ineos hadn't put in 80 million recently,
yeah,
United would only have 15 million in cash.
Wow.
Which, to me, is...
Mere peanuts for a club of that size.
What are you talking about? Like, it's no football club in the Premier League should only have 15 million in cash.
15 million.
It's like... So how
down the back of the couch.
Yeah, how has it come to this? Like...
I mean, it's all because of the fucking...
With Ineos, they're like, oh, the mistakes they made. Like, the Ten Hag thing was that, like, Ashworth was the one that decided to keep him on. They were like, okay, we put you in the position.
Yeah.
And then it was like, and Ashworth signed off on all the signings. And then they were like, okay, and...
So Ashworth is really the...
Well, that's why you got
the
sacked.
Focal point.
That's why you got sacked. Like,
yeah, yeah.
And they paid money for him because they wanted him. And then they were like...
Oh, he's terrible.
I think they were expecting something else. Now, the due diligence should probably be on them to... know what you're getting.
Yeah.
But it worked well from at Brighton and it worked well from Newcastle, where he'd be like outsourcing all his data analytics apparently he's more of I'll bring in these people to manage. And
I'll oversee
like,
it.
Yeah, it's like, no, your job is to do this. And he just wasn't doing it. And they're like,
sure.
And like, you're fine.
But now, Terry, if you don't mind me saying, you've still got fans like a certain Terry Toner who have it in their head that it would be a good idea to bring back someone like Paul Pogba. You've got the blinkers on.
3 months, Andy. Like, we need... Look at... In the game, we lost 1-0 to Spurs the weekend.
Yeah.
Again, I thought we played well enough to...
Yeah, I've seen a bit of it.
To win
all right.
Or get a draw at least.
Yeah.
Shite goal that Spurs scored and we missed...
Fucking Madison with his...
Oh, like... Anyway,
I showed him.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you're playing the worst Man United team in history, mate. Like, good on you.
Madders.
You're in cuckoo land.
Yeah.
I thought, you know, I think there was a stat that it's like, out of the 49 big chances United have created this year, take a guess how many they've converted.
49, well, I'm guessing it's low. 49 big chances. So you probably score, what, 7?
We've converted 8. 6. Out of 49,
that's crazy.
Big chances.
That's crazy, John.
Like, Isn't that crazy talk?
It is crazy talk.
Nottingham Forest have created 43 big chances. And obviously have converted way more because they're like third in the league.
Yeah.
So it's like, we're creating the chances.
What's the fucking story with that, by the way? How are they pulling that off?
He's a gangster as well. Let me tell you. That guy, that manager, is a gangster, a proper gangster. But I think, you know, get to the summer with Amorim.
Yeah.
He will, hopefully, if he can shift on, there's going to be an exodus of players there.
Huge exodus.
Has to be.
Yeah.
And it's the kind of thing like, Rashford goes for 40 million.
Yeah.
Because they have that deal with Villa. Unless Villa don't want to sign him, which is a possibility.
Very high possibility. Yeah. He'll fucking score on us tonight now. Liverpool are playing tonight.
I've seen these comps online, and I'm like, they're like, look at him here. And I'm like, what's he
one little thing he did?
He hit the crossbar in two games. No, and like, he has ran at people. This is what he was doing for United. Like, anyway.
Let me ask you, I don't know.
Sal Garnaccio as well.
Oh, yeah? Do you think it was a bad move to bring in Amorim now? Would you have kept Ten Hag and with the idea of like he's definitely going to somewhere, you know, and Amorim is on board?
I was Ten Hag in anyway.
Yeah, true.
So
yeah.
You know, and it was the same story, creating loads of chances. The fuckers would like the game that got him sacked.
the game
that got him sacked, the West Ham game. Yeah. Nil all at half time. Should have been 4-0 up. Like there's an open goal it's missing like
Dallow or something.
Yeah, Dallow. Yeah. So I'm firmly Ten Hag in, but you know,
it's very...
I'd rather you get Amorim in now and you go through the bad times and have him weed out all this stuff.
Let him get down in the trenches.
If you bring him in the summer, those fuckers are still going to be there.
Yeah, he's like, you could probably do a job for me. Like, whereas now he's like, December, you're out.
It's like December. It's like, oh my God. And I like how they're like, oh, it's your 40th birthday. He's like, 40? No, I'm 50 since I've been here.
The worst United club in history.
Look, I'm firm.
Probably is. I mean, in our lifetime.
I mean, I got sent the team sheet there by a friend on Sunday. He's like, is this the worst Man United team? And there's been worse on paper under Fergie. Like, you've had...
Oh, really? On paper?
Ah, yeah. Like, John O'Shea playing centre mid with Raphael or something like that.
Yeah.
Like,
you know,
but they'd still win games. Like, this game was like, Phil Neville, centre mid.
They had...
And Darren Fletcher, but they had...
See, at the time, because it was Fergie there, they were round pegs in square holes, but they had the Fergie mentality, whereas now the mentality part is gone, and the players are wrong.
It will come back, I think, under Amorim.
Well, you know what? I'm here for the journey. I'll put it that way.
I think we got Everton at the weekend. Like, they've won 3 of their last 4. Like, Moyes, they hadn't won a game in, like, 6.
Oh, you have Everton?
Yeah. We got them away.
Fucking hell.
On paper, I'm like, we should beat them, right? And then, like, I'm like, probably the worst kind of team to play.
Those pricks.
Yeah. Although we are better away from home than at home.
Yeah, so. Every time I see United at home, I swear, I'm looking on the fantasy. I'm like, right, who's the away team that I can bring in for this week?
Southampton? Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean.
Worst side of Premier League history.
I have a game for you.
Oh.
Right?
Oh, please.
If I do a thing at bedtime with Bonnie, where she's like, can you tell me a story?
Oh yeah, Johnny.
And I'll be like, okay, we're doing SpongeBob. And I will just basically tell her the bare bones of SpongeBob. This is SpongeBob. He lives in a pineapple. This is Patrick.
Yeah.
This is Ryan. Go through the whole thing. But then she's like, what did they say?
Yeah.
And I'm like,
your dialogue.
I just do one catchphrase. So I'm gonna ask you, what does SpongeBob say? Like, you give me a one liner.
What's his catchphrase if I was to sum him up to someone?
Yeah, like, well, not to sum up, but like SpongeBob says.
I would say SpongeBob says,
okay, 0-1.
Is there an actual right answer?
No, the right answer is, can you match me?
It's okay, like, what would you say?
I'm ready.
Okay, yeah.
I'll give you some sort of mindset.
Okay. Okay. Is there more?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
What does Patrick say? Think of something that he says more than once, you know, over the course of a lot of episodes.
The only thing that's coming to mind is, good morning, SpongeBob.
Oh, so close.
What was it?
Good morning, Krusty Krab.
Fuck.
Okay, 0-2.
All right.
What does Squidward say?
Everyone's an idiot except me.
I knew you'd say that.
That's wrong.
Yeah, that's wrong. Can I say SpongeBob?
This is very subjective.
Yeah, I know, but it's like the
This is a game of what am I thinking?
It's the newlywed game. What does Mr. Krabs say?
Money.
So close. Me money, SpongeBob.
You're going to give it to me for
that.
No,
sorry. Okay, so 0 for 4.
Okay.
What does Plankton say?
Curse you, crabs.
You got it.
Yes.
Okay, one for five.
All right.
What does Sandy Cheeks say?
Hiya!
Don't know that.
I don't know.
Golly, SpongeBob.
That's not a go-to. That's very...
She says it all the time.
Oh.
Okay, what is Larry... Now, these ones get a bit more vague, all right? Because I've only got three left. What does Larry the Lobster say?
I don't know that one. I know who he is, but I don't know his catchphrases. Is this clown bothering you?
That's right. I'm more of a SpongeBob, my man.
Okay. I never get that.
Okay. Pearl the whale.
You don't fucking like my fucking party.
What SpongeBob do you be watching?
The R-rated. You have to be over 18 for the time.
I would have been like, hi, Sponge.
I've never heard her say that.
That's like, what she does. She calls him Sponge. And she says, hi, Sponge.
God, it's been a while since I watched SpongeBob.
You got to watch the early ones as well.
I talked about it on the pod, but the last movie that was a disgrace to the
franchise.
That
was the Sandy Cheeks one.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, avoid at all costs.
They've done a Plankton one as well.
Yeah, and it's put me off it now, the other one, because even some of the live action-y sort of movies, I'm like, I like them. But the last one was an abomination, and the Plankton, it's put me off even wanting to go back into the SpongeBob world.
One last one. See if you can get it. Mrs. Puff.
Oh, it's some sort of exasperated, like, fuck. I got nothing. I have no reference point at all.
Oh, SpongeBob, why?
Oh, yes, Terry.
You got Plankton.
1 of 6.
Yeah.
Plankton's my go-to. Like
4. What does Gary say?
Meow.
There you go.
Okay.
Two of 10.
All right, that was a softball. My Plankton is one of my best impressions, I think.
It's a pretty good Plankton.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That Krabby Patty formula's mine, crabs.
That's good, man.
Yes.
I've kind of lost it. I did a much better Plankton like a year ago. And now it's like, I don't even know where I'm at when I'm doing my impressions anymore. I'm so tired and I've done them so often.
You know, the ones, isn't it funny that like, you know when you've nailed it.
Yeah.
Even though you can't necessarily hear your voice outside of your head. I'm like, you know. Whenever I'm doing it with Kerry, or if Kerry does an impression or whatever, it's like, oh, I did feel like him for a second. You literally morph into him for a second, like, and then you're out again.
Man.
Yeah. For some reason, being able to do impressions well is a trait that I would fucking love to have.
Yeah.
And I practice in the car a lot. Speaking of driving songs, when I'm not singing, sometimes I'll be just out now talking and trying to do,
Who are you trying to do?
Paul McCartney, I try and do a lot.
Because he
kind of talks like this, you know. And sometimes I'd be singing like All My Loving, and I'd be like, tomorrow I'll kiss you.
You're doing it in his voice.
And I'll kind of talk it, you know. Yeah. And yeah, but like just random stupid shit. Like, but Paul McCartney, I always try and do. I can't do John. George, sometimes. Yeah, it's hard though. I work on my, you know, the one I'd really love is like Robert De Niro, or, you know.
De Niro's...
I feel like he's either real easy or really hard. You know, like once you get him, you've got him.
Yeah, but even anybody who does him.
It's a bit like hacky.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Same with Pacino. You know, like, you know.
Yeah. They are kind of, because they're the big, you know.
Well, you're going to hear, if you're a member of our Patreon, you're going to hear plenty of Robert De Niro and Al Pacino impressions next week when we're doing Heat on the last episode of our heist miniseries. If you want to join, it's a low, low fee of €5 a month. Come on over.
It's
a good time.
I have been, this whole heist miniseries that we've been doing has been leading up to this moment. And I had the chance to watch Heat a few times, and you were like, save it. And I was like, fuck, I just want to watch this movie.
Yeah.
But I'm glad now I waited. And even the fact that it's a 3-hour movie, fine. I'll accept that.
Yeah. It's on Disney, you can pause it.
Yeah. I'm very excited.
I will be breaking out the Blu-ray, of course. First Blu-ray I ever bought.
Was it?
Heat. Heat and Inglourious Bastards. Got the two of them for like £15 in HMV one day.
How many Blu-rays do you think you have? Or do you know you have?
Blu-rays?
Yeah. Yeah, Blu-rays.
About 50, I'd say.
Okay.
About 50. I had to get rid of all my DVDs. We've been over this.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't care for that, let me tell you.
Where do you play your Blu-rays now?
On my PS4.
Oh.
PS4 is tucked away. Blu-rays tucked away.
Does it sound like it's a jet engine about to take off?
No, my PS4 has never been like that. Like,
I guess you didn't really play it ad nauseum.
Also, my memory in it was always kind of low.
Maybe that's,
you know, that's what I found. Like, when it would start to fill up, it would get noisy.
Yeah.
But generally, interesting. I use it for playing, you know, my Blu-rays.
Because I was thinking that. I was like, I wouldn't even have a device to play.
That's the only thing I have.
There's nothing in my laptop. There's nothing on the PlayStation.
Yeah, my laptop, when I bought my new Mac, I was like,
where's the disk drive?
Yeah, excuse me.
You've typical
the boy,
Apple.
You've the boy in external
disk drive. I was like that with this iPhone that I got. I was like, oh, I just need to plug my headphones in for a sec. I was like, oh, they're doing that fucking... There's so no headphone jack.
So how do you get a headphone jack? You don't?
You have to some fucking stupid buy an extension.
That clicks into where your phone charger would be?
Yeah, and then you put the headphone jack into that. Like, whatever, 40 quid or whatever the fuck.
Did you see SNL 50?
No, I just weekend. Well, I seen it was on, and I seen Ryan Reynolds having a little pop at himself.
Yeah, fucking guy. Like,
what? I was going to send
multiple
you
multiple lawsuits.
Is there?
Yeah, between him and Baldoni.
For trying to steamroll over his movie.
And smear his name and everything.
Hmm.
I think they're basically trying to kill this guy's career. Now, their allegations, I don't know if you saw the Blake Lively, you know, she was saying...
What's she up to now?
She was saying he was being very inappropriate on set and stuff like that. Like,
oh, yeah. So that, yeah, you were telling me.
So it seems to be a whole mess pot, you know, but like the big Hollywood machine that is rent, like... You know, Justin Baldoni's not showing up at SNL 50 to lightly poke fun at themselves.
But I feel like the public perception of Ryan Reynolds, I hear a lot more about him now as a, like, oh, I don't like him. Or,
good.
You know. Yeah, that's the general consensus that I'm seeing.
Yeah.
But I didn't see anything
on... Megalomaniac.
Yeah. He's got such a... It's like his face and his voice just seem so harmless that you're just kind of think, he's a good guy. Yeah. You know, but...
Yeah, right.
Who knows? Well...
Terry knows. This guy is not a good guy. He's not like.
I'll let you do your SNL thing, but let me just say, if I can just swoop in very briefly and just say, I finished the final episode of Beast Games, Terry. Speaking of happy American men. Do you know what? There's going to be some way I can use the podcast to just get you to watch as much as you can stand from the first episode. Very good storytelling.
I don't want to give that guy a second of my time.
I don't get it. Why?
It's going to come out, and then you'll be like, I can't believe it, Terry. They got me again. What is it with all these people? How do they keep getting... Look, here's another one. Here's another one that we both were fucking got. I don't know if you saw Jerry Seinfeld.
Why?
That clip of him was like, hey, it was like some guy like taking a picture of him or a video, and he's like, free Palestine? And he's like, please? And he's like, I don't care about Palestine. And walked off.
Oh.
And I was like, fuck you.
That was why I had actually...
Shit, like.
We put a clip up of Seinfeld or sandwiches, and I shared it, and I was like... And then I just was on Twitter, and I kept seeing all this Seinfeld stuff. I was like, I was like, I don't know.
No, you should have... I shared it, and I
seen, I was like, you covered yourself.
I said, fuck Jerry Seinfeld. And like, I got a notice from Instagram being like, this is like many other hateful messages that have been going out. Are you sure you want to send that? I was like, put like the two asterisks there, and it was, I didn't get a warning or anything like that.
It's just because he said fuck?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah. This is 2025, man. Big corporate tech overlords.
Gone backwards. You know what? It's a shame that he's that way. Doesn't take away from me enjoying
Seinfeld?
The 90s sitcom.
No.
But
that's why I said fuck Jerry Seinfeld, not fuck Seinfeld.
Very important distinction. Yeah, it's a shame.
He's a piece of shit. It is a shame. But then I'm like, he's always been a piece of shit, really?
Yeah, like, we just kind of got a kick out of it.
Yeah, and it's you know, we just ignored that he was, you know...
Frightfully rude.
quote-unquote pedophile?
Yeah.
You know, he's
certified
39.
Lover boy, certified pedophile.
39. Yeah, I'll get on the phone to Kendrick, see if he'll do me a song about him. Like,
say, Jerry.
Well, that's a picture of, like... him and his 17-year-old girlfriend at the time.
Shoshana.
He collected her from school.
No.
Like, and then it was like the picture of Kendrick looking into the camera. Like,
And this at the peak of his, like, it's like season 4 or 5 of Seinfeld.
Crazy.
Like, and you know what? I'd say even back then, obviously people would have said things, but
the coverage, like, if it was
the culture and the coverage back then was like, it's frowned upon. It's a bit young, but you know. Whereas now it's like, what the fuck?
She's
you
a know, child, Jerry.
Like picking her from school. Yeah, oh, Jesus Christ.
Anyway, SNL 15. Yeah.
Was it good? No. Shit. Of course, it wasn't good.
Not good.
Of course, like, it wasn't.
I don't know what, you know, I wasn't actually expecting anything, and I forgot that it was on, and then it was like, oh, okay, you know, all this.
Well, and what was it? It was just sketches with, like, special guests, more special
pretty
guests.
Pretty much. Like, there was one bit that was, like, pretty okay, that it made me smile because I liked the people involved, where it was, like, yeah. John Mulaney, and they were doing, like, a musical to New York.
Yeah.
So it was, like, in the 80s. No, in the 70s, it was like, there was like heroin and a hot dog. Mm. So Adam Driver in a hot dog suit being real serious, singing, and I can't remember. Oh, it was Maya Rudolph as like the needle.
Yeah.
And then it's like the 80s, it's like the power lunch. Everybody is go-go Wall Street. And it's like Nathan Lane. It's like, cocaine and some vodka. What a wonderful face. And it's like the Hakuna Matata thing.
Great.
Like, and I was like, oh, yeah, great. And it's like, John Mulaney's like, I'm sure Disney's thrilled. Okay. And then it was
I
like,
love Nathan Lane.
Yeah, oh, he's so good. And like, then it was like the 90s was like a pimp being like replaced on Times Square with a mascot. And it cuts to the crowd and it's like Jason Sudeikis as the pimp starting to like sing like a musical number. And then like Will Forte in the mascot, and he takes the head off. And the two of them are there and it's like... Selena Gomez. No, not Selena Gomez. Who's the girl from Wednesday?
Oh, yeah.
And Kevin Costner are sitting in between the two of them. And the two of them are singing, arguing at each other. And the two of them are just like looking at it. And that put a smile on my face. But then, like with a lot of SNL, the rest was just like whiff, whiff.
I love that expression. Whiff.
Like, it's
for,
like,
for a miss.
I'm like, oh, so whiff. Like. And it was, you know, it was,
I would have thought you would have had a higher tolerance for SNL.
I did back in the past. Yeah. You know, like SNL 40, I thought was really good.
I used to get SNL compilations off you and all, like, about Will Ferrell's and.
But even the Will Ferrell sketch, it was like, oh, it was Will Ferrell, Eddie Murphy, and Keenan doing like a scared straight thing. And I was like, this isn't the overy. But then, you know, like, again, it's like all SNL. It was like, Eddie Murphy on Black Jeopardy doing an impression. He was Tracy Morgan.
Tracy
Morgan was another contestant next to him. And it was like, Eddie Murphy doing Tracy Morgan. It was very funny, objectively. Him being like, I eat 4 cheese lasagna. And Tracy Morgan's trying not to laugh.
Right.
Like, you know, that kind of stuff was funny.
Yeah, when you're shining or putting the mirror on someone. Yeah, like, this is you. I find with that sort of stuff, my tolerance for... my time from what's this all about to shut up is so small for SNL. Like, I'm waiting to say, you know what I mean? Like, because I'm waiting, but you're going to annoy me. You're just going to annoy me now. Go on. Yeah. Knew it. Next. No, no. I don't know.
Yeah. Like, it's just it's a celebration of Lorne Michaels. Like,
yeah.
I don't know if you saw, like, the clips that were going out. Oh, no, there was, like, excerpts from an interview that was done. It was, like, when he had Trump in to host before he was president the first time. And, like, Tim Robinson's a quote from Tim Robinson. He was there as well. He's like, what the fuck is going on? He's like, somebody should shoot him in the head. Like, it's like, you can just, like, hear him saying it in that voice. Like, shoot him in the head.
I seen a tweet last week, and I thought it was really good. Someone just said, for real, I think just like 6 people need to die, like, just in general, for the world to be back okay.
But that's the thing. It was like Lorne Michaels looking after his billionaire buddy.
That's what it seems like now.
To come on,
yeah,
and like, it's a huge platform. It's like, why didn't he have Hillary Clinton on or whatever?
Yeah.
But like, people were like, you shouldn't have this guy on, like, he's a piece of shit, like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And he was like, no,
I don't think I'll be doing this.
Yeah. Or like, but he didn't have Taylor Swift on, and then she was supposed to be on or something. She came into the office and he's like, I don't negotiate with terrorists. And then she ended up like apologizing to him Because like
powers ego.
Well, like he runs all of, like he picks who does the Tonight Show. He picks who does late night.
Lorne Michaels.
Yeah, he's the producer of all of that.
I feel like there's a whiff of, and this is libelous, so I'm gonna be careful.
My favorite kind of whiff.
There's a whiff of like a Harvey Weinstein.
I think so too. Right? Honestly, like,
you know, I'm surprised that he's been unscathed for this long. You don't get to where he is without.
I listened to the Lonely Island podcast, and they all talk about like how fucking burnt out and how hard it was working at SNL, and like Bill Hader did not show up for the 50th anniversary because
he's the nicest guy in Hollywood.
And Lorne Michaels like, you can do this show for as long as you want, and he's like, I don't think I can ever do this show. Like, I'm gone, I'm done.
Yeah,
like, you know, there's something there.
There's something there.
Like, Pete Davidson spent Christmas on holidays with Lorne Michaels.
Well, that's the alarm bells are ringing right there.
I mean, like, he was like 20 when he did this, and I was like, Now, again, very libelous.
Libelous, alleged, nothing. Yeah. We're not saying anything.
No, we're just, these are facts that were presented.
We're just contemplating.
Yeah.
Is it time yet for me to hit you with some bangers? Boom, 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 boom. It's bangers for Terry.
Boom, boom, boom. What? Oh!
You, don't tell me you didn't.
I forgot to listen to it.
You son of a bitch!
I was busy! I was busy and I was listening to all the other music.
Do you know what?
Put a pin in
it. Yeah, put it. We'll double it up next week, folks. And do you know what? I'm actually glad that. I'm not glad. I'm devastated. But
you look it.
But I'm going to, because do you know what? I found the last 2 weeks, and I've been putting polls up, and I'm like, do you know what? Like, I'm going to hold back on the polls slightly on to the beloved patrons until I'm actually can't make my mind up, because there's a few things where I'm like, I really just want to play him this song, but now I'm thinking I got to come up with four options and all that. I'm so. It's not why we started it. I want to educate you. I don't just want to play you a song that the popular vote won.
Ixnay on the condescension either. Educate me.
Yeah, educate you. Yeah. Well, look, we'll double up next week.
Okay, I'm sorry. I was like, what is he queuing me up for here? Like,
what's this?
Our other segment, of course. See, the White Lotus is back.
What's that?
You never seen the White Lotus?
What's that?
TV show.
TV show?
Yeah. Oh.
Never heard of it, mate.
Really?
Yeah. Was it a movie? A band?
It's
a
HBO. It's HBO series about a resort. And each series is like a murder at the White Lotus. You know, it's like this luxury resort. Like, the first one was in Hawaii. Somebody died and they take you back a week earlier and you get introduced to all these guests and the people who work there. And then you're like, I wonder who's going to die. I wonder who's going to be the murderer. So they did one
bit
in Hawaii.
Who done it?
Yes. So like, first season, Steve Zahn was in it.
Hey,
your boy.
He keeps popping back.
Sydney Sweeney was in it.
Well, now you're talking.
Yeah, I'm trying to think who else. Jennifer Coolidge was in the first season. She's in the second season as well. Chris Moltisanti was in the second season.
Hey,
it's basically you're a School of Rocksman, right?
Yeah.
You know Ned Sneebly.
Of course.
Yeah, he is the showrunner, writer, director. Mike White.
That's his name.
Yeah, Mike White and Jack Black. Funny how that worked. Funny how that worked.
Brilliant.
So Mike White, he's the writer director of it. So he did the third season. Has now come. Third season is in Thailand. Check out this cast. Okay.
Okay, go on.
My man.
Could be Walton one of 100 Goggins. People.
No,
okay,
yeah, yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Okay.
When I say my man,
that's you for him. Gotcha.
He's in it. Arnold Schwarzenegger's son, Patrick Schwarzenegger. He's in it.
Patrick Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Is he?
At being
okay.
A douchebag.
I didn't even know he had a son.
Yeah, he kind of carved out this niche.
Is this the one who's the maid? Is his mom?
I don't know. Yeah,
they're all crooks.
Michelle Monaghan.
Don't know who that
her
is.
Of True Detective fame, the wife, not
Alexandra Daddario.
She was in the first season of White Lotus. Actually, okay. Her and Sydney Sweeney. Yeah,
be still my.
Throbbing.
Terrible. I'm a terrible person.
Michelle Monaghan, Carrie Coon. No?
No.
Doesn't ring a bell?
No.
She's like.
Is she in that category as well?
No, she's my, like. I don't want to say.
Come on, say it.
I have a huge crush on her. How about that? Like, I'm trying to be nice.
PC she's, way. That's what I should have said.
She's great. Because she's not like, you know, like, what a babe. Even though she's.
Sorry, is this 1994 USA?
I mean, it is when I'm in the car with you on the way home. Whatever we do, we listen to. But she's like one that she's like, incredible actress, but also like very attractive. Yeah. But not, what do they call, what do they say? Like, you know, your pot noodle. You know, like pot noodle is like food that's like, it's not the most attractive food thing that you're gonna eat, but god damn it, you love it.
But it's tasty as fuck.
Well, yeah, I guess, you know? Yeah. So she'd be in the pot noodle category for me. Okay. She's actually above pot noodle. Like,
I think pot noodle is a bit of an insult.
But it's not an insult because you enjoy the pot noodle.
Yeah, but pot noodle gives me the sense of a fling. It's a one-night stand.
Be to other people's tastes. That's the thing. I personally don't care for a pot noodle.
Okay, well.
But if you had your pot noodle and you're like, this is delicious, I'd be like, good for you.
Hmm. Okay.
You get me?
I did until you said you don't like pot noodles. But and I, then I thought I, your whole thing
in,
fell apart.
In real life, I don't like a pot
noodle. Okay, well, what is it in your... Who is she in your catalogue of
Peanut
snacks?
Sandwich.
Oh, here we go.
She's my peanut sandwich, Andy. Don't you see?
Okay.
You know?
I'll take that. So it's a snack on the go.
Yes.
If you want to say, yeah, metaphorically.
Absolutely. It's just...
I don't even know where we are now.
But I'm bringing this... I'm trying to stay culturally relevant, Andy, here. With
I'm bringing this. Us down in the gutter where we belong,
Terry. This is the new show that's out. It's on Sky Atlantic. Okay. You know, it's going to... People are going to be talking about it. I'd be surprised if they're not talking about it out there in the pool. Office pool, that is.
Okay.
In the next week. Going in for a dip. In the next week or so. It was. I can't believe you've never heard of it.
I think the name rings a bell, but
it's no. Like it's one of HBO's big shows now.
Big shows.
They get together these casts. Parker Posey is in it.
Why'd you say it like that?
Now you know who Parker Posey is.
I do,
yeah. Yeah.
I say she'd be right up your alley, is she?
In terms of Parker Posey.
That sort of natural beauty. I'm sorry. Really? I'm sorry to always bring it down to looks here, but
no.
Just,
Parker Posey is like, yeah. I don't know what category you put her in. Like, she's great.
Yeah, yeah. Seems kind of a, if I'm thinking of the same person, kind of a girl next door sort of vibe.
She's the girl from Dazed and Confused. She's like, Ray, you know, the one that's
oh,
like
is that
the
her?
Bitch.
I
like,
loved her. Yeah, I thought she was really funny.
She's so funny. Like,
Ray. She was great.
It's the first two seasons have been very good. First season, our first episode in the new season. Is just out now. It's nice to have a week to week show.
It is nice
to watch. You don't ever get a week to week or go on, do you?
No, I mean, I'm not going to talk about it again. The Beast Games was
that a week to week though?
So every Thursday, me and Joni be like, new Beast Games. Like, all right, let's do it.
What is this world? Huh?
You know, I'm telling me, you'd be surprised. But anyway, I'm not going to get into it.
I won't.
I'm not going to get
I
into
can't.
It.
Why don't we get into our driving songs?
Down, 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 down. Please.
So I have my list.
I too
have do you
my
have
list.
It ranked like 1 to 5 or
I do, but I didn't feel obligated to do that, but I did it.
I put mine into like 5 categories.
Categories.
I put it into categories.
Okay.
So I have,
what are your categories?
Pedal to the Metal.
But that's one song.
That's one song goes in under my Pedal to the Metal slot.
Okay.
I have my Finger Tapper.
Okay.
Where I'm drumming my fingers on the steering wheel.
Yeah.
Have my, now I think I combined 2 categories with like cruising or like ambient groove.
So you're kind of like the seats back, one arm on top of the steering wheel.
I think it's more like
open window.
I'm just
sort of
spinning down to the creche,
okay,
or down to the shop. So I'm going on a short little trip and I'm just on a little jaunt, you know.
Yeah, okay.
I got a sing along,
okay,
and I got night driving.
Ooh. Excuse me.
Now, yours may not fit in that criteria.
No, like that's... It crosses over because my criteria for a song has to be... For me, my picks were... It has to be a song that I particularly enjoy in the car.
Mm.
That the car gives it a little something else. So not like Strawberry Fields or something like that. Which is a great song, but wouldn't work for me in the car. It has to have good... Generally good drumming. Because I want to be able to bang my index fingers off the bottom of the steering wheel. You know, whatever.
Yeah.
Go with the drum, and I give it a proper. And I have to be able to sing along quite loudly,
okay.
which I do. So, and I need to generally know all the lyrics as well. You know what I mean?
Oh, that's interesting.
So I've given myself, I've confined myself, if anything. But it's, you know.
Well, why don't we kick it to you first then?
Number 5.
Sure.
This will shock you, I think. I'm going to go with Michael Jackson.
I saw it in there.
Black or White. Now. It's not even my favorite Michael Jackson song, Well, actually, maybe it is. I can't get it. Now, you know, I'm going to separate everything from Michael Jackson, the person, right? Just make that distinction. But I think that the verses, the riff and the verses in Black or White.
I can picture you singing the first line.
It's perfect. Now, you know, like, if you're black or white, like, that's fine. But then, and then it kicks in. It's like, I send my message in the sun. Whatever it is, it just makes me go. Now, I tend to kind of switch off, to be honest, when the rap, you know, protection for gangs, Christian nations. You know, like one of these classic unknown rappers who just show up in pop songs, you know, where you like never hear from them again. Rihanna's got about five or
featuring
six.
Two-step.
Like, who the hell are they? But whenever Michael Jackson, whenever Black or White comes on, bit of a long intro with the whole like,
I was like, what am I listening
turn
to?
Turn it off. Yeah. You know, Dad, I want to listen to it. Okay.
I didn't think that was actually on the track. You know, it's from the
different, the video. Different actor, different voices, different kid. All
no,
this.
No George Went.
They just kept doing it. And now, if anything, as an adult, I side with the father. Like, it is too late to be playing it that loud. Yeah. Like, you little shit. But,
don't plug your electric guitar.
But yeah, Black or White, I just think, for whatever reason, the last year or two when that comes on, I'm like, oh, fucking yes, man.
I mean, it's a quality tune.
And it's probably the first Michael Jackson song that I remember as a kid. That was my introduction to him as a kid. The video, you know, where they're all turning.
Yeah.
And turning, I mean, in, you know,
most
morphing.
Offensive movie of all, video of all time at one point.
Was it?
Yeah.
But yeah, I just think it's him pretty much, not necessarily at the peak of his powers, but, you know, did it for me.
Yep.
What about you? What's your first criteria here?
I'm going to go with Pedal to the Metal.
Ooh, okay.
And it is Bell Bottoms.
Yeah, that was very...
this is something that like I put
didn't
on...
Didn't expect that.
I put on our...
What movie was it in? Go on.
Baby Driver.
No way.
But it was kind of like I'd seen Baby Driver and years ago and, you know, it was fine, good movie, whatever. Yeah. I did like a lot of the soundtrack, the whole thing. The concept of the movie of Baby Driver is he has like... really bad tinnitus, so he's always listening to music to drown out the
ringing.
He's so he has his iPod everywhere he goes.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's lots of great needle drops in him. But this song is in a chase scene. And like I had it on our playlist because I was listening to a podcast and somebody mentioned it and they're like, oh, you know, that tune Bell Bottoms from Baby Driver.
I'd never heard it before.
Yeah. And then I was like, oh yeah, and I went and listened to it and I was like, that's fucking good. Put it on. And it was kind of the inspiration for the list because it's been coming on when I've been in the car. And then I've almost been like, fucking let's go. Like, you know, it's 60 kilometers an hour and I'm doing 85. Yeah. I'm like, whoop, gotta take it down, you know.
Get ahead of myself there.
Yeah, exactly. Because I'm like, Bell Bottoms, Bell Bottoms, do 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 do. So that was kind of like I had that and I had like Radar Love and I had Born to Run as kind of like
your pedal to the metal.
Let's fucking go. Like, yeah. You know, like
Born to Run. It's been a while since I'd heard Born to Run when I was listening to it on the playlist. And I'm like, do you know what? I think that is my favorite Bruce Springsteen.
I'm like, oh, all right. Like, so that was kind of like I had that and I had like Radar Love and I had Born to Run as kind of like
your pedal to the metal.
Let's fucking go. Like, yeah. You know, like
Born to Run. It's been a while since I'd heard Born to Run when I was listening to it on the playlist. And I'm like, do you know what? I think that is my favorite Bruce Springsteen song.
It's undeniable.
I'd always said Thunder Road, which is like a close second, but Born to Run. Do you know what? And a lot of my songs have this criteria of that opening drum, where you, it's like one, like for me, the song almost has to make me in the car by myself go, oh, or something, you know, like audibly say in appreciation, I'm glad this song is on.
And like, but, even with that, Born Drone is like, dun, dun,
dun, dun, yeah, yeah. Dun, 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 dun,
dun, dun, dun, dun. I was, anyway, I didn't go with it. I went with Bell Bottoms.
Should have gone with that.
I mean, it could have been any of the three, to be honest.
Yeah.
I think it was just when I was listening back to them all and like driving around, it was something that like, because it starts with the strings and you're like, ooh.
Yeah, yeah.
Do, 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 and you're like, ah, this is kind of good. And then it's like, it kind of changes like, Bell Bottoms.
Yeah.
And like just like, gets really, I'm like, let's fucking go.
Really is pedal to the metal.
Yeah, it really is. Like, and then I was like, I had Bonnie in the car and I'm like, nope, slow down. Oopsie doodle.
Yeah. Yeah, I've done that.
We made it in record time. We're at school. Bonnie's, 20 minutes
Bonnie's
early.
Hair is all up like. All right. Number four.
For you.
I am going to go with Wham! Young Guns having some fun.
Surprised.
It's you know what? It's very, it's specifically a driving criteria song where I seen that Wham! Documentary last year on Netflix and it's so fucking good. I always just had like, you know, well, you know, Wake Me Up and a few others. I liked Everything She Wants and all
Everything
that sort of stuff.
The best,
I mean, like, unbelievable. But for Young Gun, and I'm watching, I'm like, every fucking song, I'm like, oh yeah, like I hadn't heard this in ages. So since then, I've had it kind of in my rotation, and it came on there recently, and it gives me that sort of, you know, it's got that sort of, it's got that, it has to have a good intro, you know.
What's with the frown? But in return, all you could say was, hi, George, meet my fiance.
When you were still adding songs to Garage Club 2.0, I'm going to call you out on it. That's, I'm like, oh, that's good, you know.
Yeah.
And then there's a song that I would kind of put in the same category.
Yeah.
Is Opportunities by Pet Shop Boys. Do you know that?
Oh, I haven't heard
it. It's like, I've got the brains, you've got the looks, let's make lots of money. And it's like, bam, bam, you know, like that kind of like, very similar
I'm so unfamiliar with Pet Shop Boys, actually.
I mean, if you listen to Garbage Troll 2.0, what's on there, my friend?
You filled it up with too much.
Too much what? Good music?
No, you filled it up with too much stuff that definitely wouldn't like. So there's gems hidden in there.
You know,
that's why this one, because I said, oh, hey, there's some good songs on this shared playlist. And you were like, yeah, a lot of it's on the Garbage Patrol already. And it's like, but because it's not oversaturated
man. Well, like, you gotta bust out of your rut.
True.
Abe Simpson.
True. I agree with you there. Yeah. I do need to listen to new stuff and watch new stuff, but
Don't wanna. Yeah.
What's your number four?
My finger tapper song is Van Morrison, Glad Tidings.
Yeah.
Boom boom boom. Boom, boom, boom. And it's literally like, and then lay you down low.
Yeah.
And like, I'm just like, na da da da, na da da.
Yeah.
Na da da da.
It's a good time song.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah. Like,
yeah.
Oh. I'd never heard it.
What's that from? It's not Astral Weeks, is it?
It's not Astral Weeks. I think it's Moondance.
Yeah.
I'd never heard it until, like, you know, you hear Van Morrison growing up.
Yeah.
You know, but when. Do you remember The Sopranos?
Yeah.
It's like Steve Buscemi, that season where he is hiding out in the country.
And yeah,
it's
like
one episode, it is played multiple times, just him driving around upstate New York and he's going to the shop and it's like, you know, by surprise.
Yeah.
Na, 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 na. And I was like, this is a great tune. What is this? You know, I've never heard this Van Morrison before. So it's always been in, like, that's at the top of my... Like, that and Caravan are my two favourite Van Morrison
ones. Yeah, I haven't heard Caravan in ages. I think that's from Moondance as well.
It's class, man. The Last Waltz version is the best one.
God, I haven't heard Caravan in forever.
But just when I have started driving, and like whenever it comes on, I'm just like, ah. La, 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 la.
La, 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 la. La, 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 la. La, 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 la.
like a jaunty, like,
yeah,
hey kids, you know.
It's funny with like Van Morrison, because like you said, we grew up listening to all the big ones, you know, Brown Eyed Girl and all
Moon
this
Dance,
stuff,
you know,
yeah, and all that sort of stuff. But then when we were in our 20s and we would discover like Astral Weeks yeah. and you know, like a few of these ones where you're just like, oh, like this
there
is.
There was one night when we played, had a games night, and we played Astral Weeks like 3 times in a row, yeah, just start to finish,
yeah,
just put it on again.
Yeah, because yeah. It's so digestible, mm. It's so listenable.
It's like 8 songs. Like.
Yeah, and it's not like big poppy numbers or big rock numbers. No. It's a stone groove yeah, from start to finish.
It washes over you, yeah, like, completely.
That's what
like,
it is.
You know,
oh, I love it.
Found the man.
Next,
you.
Number 3. I'm going to go with. Now, this is a certified banger. I'm going to go with Heart Alone.
Man, when
fuck.
Can I just say,
yeah.
we need more heart
yeah.
in our lives.
Literally and figuratively.
But like, it's a fucking rule. And like,
hell good.
I love Heart. I love that song.
Yeah.
Like, when I was just there like, in the car, I'm like, dun, fucking, dun, dun, dun. Here's a gift for Father's Day. Car power ballads. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Like, featuring Heart.
Heart Alone.
Ta-da!
Yeah. It's, I mean, this is one. I mean, it's got such. Oh, like, do you know what got me back into listening to it was the Jackie DiNardo in Always Sunny. You know, you're one of the news anchor.
Oh, yeah.
Every
yeah.
time she passes by, the song blares. And it's just, it's got the intro. Like, this is one that makes me go, oh, yes, I'll yeah. turn it up. And it's got, like, you know, the great intro. And just, there's something about, like 80s rock songs in general don't work for me. But this.
You say that.
Power ballads
okay.
work. You know what I mean? And this, because there's something about,
you're
know,
like 80s metal, like.
Yeah,
Motley
like all that
Crue
sort of stuff.
I'm yeah.
never into that. But just in general, like, I don't, you know, any band that went through the 80s that wasn't originated in the 80s, that was their dip period, yeah. really. And then they sometimes, some of them
that,
came back in the 90s, some of them.
You
didn't.
Say that, and it's like, oh, Bowie in the 80s, and it's like.
True.
At the time, you're like, this
he's
is worse stuff. And then you're like, oh, man, that's he's, actually class.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you know?
There's something about, like, even in Alone, like, the harmony of, like, whether she's harmonizing with herself, I don't know. Just that, like, I never really cared until I met you. And that's, it's so 80s the way, I don't know why that part just, it's so 80s. And then just the hitting, you know, it's like, how do I get, like, I blare this one. And then it's got the, it's
is
got the
quite. Is that your favorite Heart song?
Yeah, I think so. And it's got one of those ones where it's like going into the second chorus where you get the dum 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 dum. It may I cannot you could offer me £100 to not sing along or not do something and I would lose the bet.
So my next one I'm gonna loop in,
please,
relates to this in please. That throughout the GTA games, Heart has been used
yeah.
quite a lot on the rock stations, and that's what I was first introduced to them. Whether it's
Barracuda,
I think Magic Man was on one of them.
I'm not
well.
Even familiar with a couple of Heart. I'm not a huge.
Just Crazy for You, Barracuda.
Are they worth genuinely looking into, like a greatest hits or something?
You probably had like 7 or 8.
Right.
Of the great, you know, like there's some. The highs are high, you know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah.
But like a lot of bands, when you do greatest hits, you're like, this yeah. could have been a.
Yeah, I don't like that.
What would you call it? Like a. Like one, a one side. You
yeah,
know,
yeah. Like a 10 song greatest hits.
Not even, like a 6 song greatest hits, like, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But. My next one I'm going to talk about is Sing Along.
Ooh.
My sing-along song is What a Fool Believes by the Doobie Brothers.
This is you in 2025 all but over.
This song, because also on a GTA, and yeah. I was like, oh man, just driving around and listening to that song, yeah. like Iggy Pop, no, don't put on another song. Play that song again, please, on the rock station. I think this is one of the best songs ever. Like, it's infectious. Great, like,
it's
like,
infectious, that's
and, like,
the word.
Even though I don't know a lot of the words, he came on some. I'm barking and not alone.
It's a vibe. You don't even need to know the words. is that your boy?
That's Michael McDonald, my sir. My liege, my king. The king of yacht rock.
It's a great one. When it came on shuffle when I was listening to it, I never skipped it.
I've taken the step of pricing a melodica.
Excuse me?
The keyboard you blow into.
That you blow into?
Yeah.
Brilliant.
I've taken the step of pricing it. Fucking I think I'm going to
get it. Stage one.
I think I'm going to get it.
How much are they?
Not expensive. Like
under 200?
It's like 100 is the most expensive one or something like that. Like, so I think I'm going to get myself
mess around
one
with?
And then just like start playing some Steely Dan on my vinyl record and try and like learn the
I'm making a point of like trying to have instruments around the house. Like Joni, I don't remember where we got it, but she has a guitar and like she was trying to figure out how to play it and stuff like that. Now like she's just playing random stuff and I'm like, oh, very good. But like just any time, like she went through a little keyboard phase, played the keyboard in front of the whole year, played I can't remember what song it was, but it was some little thing that's like a real easy thing to learn with just a couple of like three keys, but you know. And I was like, what the fuck? That's amazing. You know, so like, I'm just to have stuff around that they can just pick up. Like, even that, a fun little thing or a little ukulele or something.
I bought
like
a ukulele and like Gus is like, Mam's guitar. I want to play Mam's guitar. I'm like, no, you can't play Mam's guitar. But we got him a drum, a little plastic drum thing. And he loves it. But then he's like banging the table. And then like, he'll start like doing it to
rhythmically.
And we're like, he's two. Like, what? And then we're like, should we get him a set of drums?
Yeah.
Are we gonna like regret it? But then also like, fuck it. Like,
get him an electric set.
Well, there's this DJ thing, and like he saw it in his cousin's house, and you couldn't get him away from it. He was fucking loving it. So we're like, okay, I think he's gonna be a music guy.
Great.
I think Bonnie's gonna be more of a
artist.
She loves drawing.
Yeah.
But What a Fool Believes. Amazing. It's just you know, I can't. I'm driving along. I'm like, what a fool believes.
Oh, wow. You hit the notes.
You'll see.
Go on. Keep going. That's good. I'll take that. All right, that'll probably do it.
Anyway, it's a sing-along. There's a few other ones I had. Some Donovan on there. I don't know if you can't.
First there is a mountain. Then there is no mountain. Then there is.
Donovan is fucking great to have on in the car.
Yeah,
honestly,
Donovan's great.
He's a good time in the car. Like,
I just, there's something so evocative about those lyrics.
Yeah,
like, is he on acid? Is he?
Yes.
Is he? You know?
Most
is
definitely.
It, you know, just first there is a mountain.
Mind-altering
then
drug.
There is no mountain. Then there is.
Oh, Juanita. You know, like. Yeah. It's just
Donovan's great. He's a whole vibe himself. Number two, we talk about it a lot, but I'm gonna go with "Just Like Heaven" by The Cure. I think it's my favorite Cure song. It's got the criteria. It's got the drum beat.
You're away,
and then
that's a finger tapper.
Yeah,
that even I was like, maybe I'll move one of Andy's into my finger tapper song.
That would have been unprecedented.
Yeah,
but just and then the whole like. Going down the keyboard, and just, you know, and
it's
just
also a sing along. Show me.
That's what I mean. Like the first, it's so infectious. The first line, it's like show me. Like you can't not sing along to that, you know.
Show me how you do that trick.
very like when I was getting into The Cure at the start, and I remember I got The Cure Greatest Hits DVD, so I could watch all the videos as well. I even liked that video; they're kind of on top of a cliff or something. And
I'm not really familiar with any of the videos, actually.
I mean, you can give them a miss, really, yeah. But some of them are like, you know, weird.
He's a good guy. He's a funny guy.
Yeah, like Close to Me was, I think he's in like a wardrobe that's like in the ocean and it's like filling up and he's kind of trying to, you know.
Close to Me is a great tune.
It's great. Yeah. But it was a toss up between Just Like Heaven and In Between Days.
Very similar as well.
Yeah, very similar. But Just Like Heaven for me, it got all my criteria. It's got the drumming, got the sing along, got the, you know, just the fucking yes. So yeah, that's for me. The only problem is that I can't play it in the car when Kerry's in there. Because it's not that she hates The Cure, but she had a bad relationship with someone who was mental into The Cure. And so fucking ruined them and the Smiths. Can't play either. But it's fine. So that's just one for me. But okay. What about you, number two?
My cruising song. So
Just Cruising by Big Will.
And Jazzy Jeff, yeah. Please. Put some respect on that name. The Fresh Prince, actually.
Of course, yes.
Cruising, I made too many categories because I had an ambient groove. If I was doing six, I would put it separate.
Okay.
My ambient groove was going to be the Twin Peaks theme tune, which I don't know if you like.
I was actually quite into that when I heard it. I came on a few times and I didn't skip it.
I like it because you're driving around and Twin Peaks is set in like Seattle or Oregon, you know, the Pacific Northwest. And like most of the roads I'm driving are like the back roads of Wicklow. Yeah. And it's very evocative of like tall trees, pine trees, you know. Yeah. And you're just like... But
and is that your pick?
No, my pick is for cruising is Billie Holiday, Blue Moon.
Liked that.
And it was just like...
A huge Blue Moon fan.
But it's the best version, I think.
You think?
I think. I know you like the Elvis one.
Yeah, I like a few. Yeah, I like a few like doo-wop versions.
It's just like... You know, Blue Moon. And you're just like, it's like, oh yeah, I'm driving around in the 50s.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and I'm just, but it's perfect for a short drive.
Yeah, yeah.
So whether it's just, I'm going to pick up the kids from creche in school or whatever, or.
It's a non-committal. It's just a quick little zip around.
Absolutely. Down to the shop. And it's like, the song is 2 minutes or something. Yeah. And it's done by the time you get there. Like,
Blue Moon. You saw me standing alone without a dream in my heart, without a love of my own. Blue moon, you knew just what I was there for. You heard me saying a prayer for someone I really could care for. And there suddenly appeared before me the only one my arms will ever hold. I heard somebody whisper, please adore me. And when I looked,
you know,
that was another one there. I was like, look, there was a few. I got like three in a row.
Did you
of
like
your
that
picks.
One, you always hurt the one you love?
Yeah.
That's another cruiser where it's like.
I wasn't sure because I was like. I was listening to that and
is this Terry?
At first I thought it was me because I had the little tick beside it and I was like, oh, I don't remember adding this. And then I was thinking, this is a good song, but I'm like, is he taking the piss now? Because is this actually a driving song or is he just throwing up songs that he likes
this
now?
I
loved it.
It's again not a cruiser, it's a short one where I'm literally like driving
when it kicks in
5 minutes then like, and like, I'm literally like, you are and then it's like, you are
when it kicked in I was like, okay, that's why you put it on.
It's like a barber shop, you know.
As soon as I, do you know what? When I seen like whatever 50s version or whatever, is it that one? And I was like, oh, it's like I knew straight away it was from the 50s. I was like, okay, let's hear this. I'm a huge 50s man these days.
So at Blue Moon, though, I just think it's a nice little mood setter. You
I
know?
Love Blue Moon so much. I love the lyrics. I love every version that I've ever heard of Blue Moon. To be
and
honest.
Her voice is so distinctive.
Yeah,
like,
very.
You know.
It got me, actually. I think I was listening to some other Billie Holiday off the back of it. I can't remember what it was. But
it's nice, I think, just for driving, to have a change. You don't always want to be like bangers, you know what I mean?
Like a banana.
I saw you put that on the list and I was like, I actually think I've ever listened to that in the car.
Oh, I just do it all the time. Well, not all the time, but when it comes on, I'm like, all right, here we go. Yeah. You know, I know I'm in for a ride.
Buckle up, kids.
Yeah.
Okay, what's your number one?
Number one. with a bullet. As soon as you said driving songs, this is always going to be the one. It's Third Eye Blind, Semi-Charmed Life. Terry.
Puts you in a good humour.
I mean, you've got the drum straight away. That riff is so fucking upbeat. This has honestly been on my Spotify Wrapped top 20 for the last maybe 6 or 7 years. It is a mainstay. I know every word. I have such joy singing this song.
You want to go back?
Yeah, I sing every single time, and every time it ends, I have such fun singing it that after like the 3.5 minutes are up and it plays that last like, boom, I'm always like, whoo, you know, like it fucking every time I have such. It's just one of the highlights of my life when this song comes on the radio or on my Spotify.
Do you like any other Third Eye Blind?
I like that one. New Girl? Jump. I wish you would step down from that ledge.
Oh,
my
friend. Yeah.
I don't know a lot of their other stuff.
There's another one they have called New Girl.
Oh, I don't know.
It's good. It was on American Pie 1 soundtrack.
Was it?
Yes.
Oh, I probably do know it then. I just don't know what
it's. It was like not a major piece of the movie, but it was like a kind of background song for like 20 seconds.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not like Mutt.
Right. It's not the whole scene. Great use of that. Yeah. But I mean, I was considering putting on, because I do listen to a lot of pop punk, as you know, and I love to blare and sing. But I was like, this, if I could just pick one, it's definitely got to be this. Believe in the faith that grows, and the fall I thought can make me cry. When I'm with you, I feel like I could die, and that would be alright. Alright. And when the plague came in, she said she was crossing. The velvet ripped in the sea, which chipped on the earth to feel alive. But now I'm struggling to survive those days you were wearing that velvet dress. You're the priestess, I must confess. Those little red panties, they passed the test. Let's look around the belly, face down on the mattress. One, and you hold me, and we are broken. Like, the lyrics are real, like, oh, he's, like, strung out or he's having a terrible time. But it's the most downbeat lyrics to the most upbeat music I've ever heard. But I just, I've yet to ever get sick of it when
would
it comes on.
Would you consider that pop punk?
Yeah.
Would you?
I would, yeah.
Hmm. I think I might have it more in the, like, Sugar Ray kind of category, like.
What?
Which is like.
Sorry, what?
It's not pop punk. It's like.
Now,
pop,
Sugar Ray,
pop rock, you know what I mean? Like,
it is pop rock.
Yeah,
but I think all pop punk is pop rock. Really?
No, but I mean, there's a
popular rock.
There's
you know
a
what I mean?
Differential. You know what I mean? Like,
I would say Sugar Ray is more.
Have you listened to Sugar Ray lately?
No,
it's not
of
bad,
course
man.
Not.
It's not bad. We had it on the
like Sugar Ray. I would view Sugar Ray as like Smash Mouth or Bare Naked Ladies or something. You know, nice, very
Sugar,
nice.
Sugar Ray better than those two, probably. Like. Yeah,
I'd give Bare Naked
Sugar Ray at their best.
Yeah, I'm not overly familiar with Sugar Ray, but I don't like to think of Third Eye Blind in that category, and I'm going
kinda,
to refute that.
They're kind of there. I'm sorry to tell you, they are.
They're a band,
there.
Like because I would view Smash Mouth, a fucking Sugar Ray. I view as this one focal point. Like it's really a guy with a band behind them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas Third Eye Blind are a band. You
but the guy
I mean?
Was kind of, I can't remember his name now.
I don't know.
Lead singer, but he kind of stood out at the time.
Was he?
Well, yeah,
whatever.
He was the, you know, like most bands, the front man is the most famous.
He's the man, isn't he?
He is the front man.
What's your number one? Well, it's not number one. But
Night Driving.
Yeah.
My choice. Robert Plant, Big Log.
I liked it. Yeah, I like this.
This is one again from GTA where like GTA.
Which GTA? 5?
5, I think it was. So it's like, that's what, 12 years ago now at this stage.
Man.
Fucking turn into dust. That I am like.
I only put it on. I think I was saying to you, I only put it on recently. I was like, I've never fucking played this.
Have you not?
No.
Oh.
And I was like, the whole time I'm like, oh yeah, I've played this. Like, I'll play it again anyway. It's free on the PlayStation Plus thing. Well, it's not free. I pay for that.
Yeah.
But
it's incredible.
And I was like, oh, I haven't played this at all. I was like, all this time.
Stay tuned to the Rock Station, man.
Yeah.
That big long. But I just remember like one. You know, I bought it. I had a week. I bought it on a Thursday.
Yeah.
It was off on the Friday. I went to the darts Thursday night. Like, got really drunk.
Mm-hmm.
Then Friday, I was off. and then I had a week off work, and then it was a bank holiday. So it was like a span of like 14 days of not working. And I had no kids. Ooh. And I was living with Faye, but we weren't engaged. And that's always like, you know, I was young and easy I was breezy. Free. Yeah. Absolutely. So I was like, my week consisted of, and here's the thing, a friend of mine had gotten me some like hashish, like roly-poly squidgy.
That was.
So it was like bottle of bourbon for the week. And when I had exposable income from myself, no mortgage, it was like a bottle of bourbon.
Two fresh-faced couple.
Like, they go to bed at like 9, 10 o'clock. I'd stay up to like 2 o'clock in the morning, like smoking joint, playing GTA till like Square Eye. But like I remember at one point playing it and like driving. I wasn't even doing a mission. I was just driving around, driving from the desert back to the city. The sun is coming up, and it's like the sun is almost coming up where I'm living as well. And that song was playing, and it was just like, man, this is fucking like joint in my mouth. Like, this is fucking incredible. Ever since then, I'm like, when I first started driving, I was like, I've got to get that onto the rotation.
Yeah.
And like,
I liked it. I hadn't kind heard of, it before.
Have you never heard it before?
I haven't heard it, no.
It's very, like, atmospheric, very moody. But, it, like, during the day, it's nice, but not when it gets darker and I'm driving, I'm like, oof.
Am I right? I could be confusing it with another one, but it kind of reminded me a bit of the Twin Peaks theme. Am I confusing that? But no, is that a totally different
song? It's kind of like that, but it's like...
Or something similar.
It's like... Down, 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 down.
Maybe.
Down.
Maybe
it's like more
that.
Like 80s.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, in there, like electric guitar.
Yeah, yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
Kind of Dire Straitsy. Yeah. I know you put a Dire Straits on as well, like...
I've just realised, I've totally forgotten about a song pick. That would have 100% been in my top five. I'll wait till you're done.
I had a couple of other for night drives was Wang Chung, To Live and Die in LA.
Yeah, yeah, I like
which
that.
Which fucking rocks. And then Regulate. Some late night Regulate driving.
I was blaring that yesterday. I was rapping the whole thing. I'm like, it's so... And you know what? I'm such a fucking...
Like, such a fucking loser.
when I'm rapping in the car, I'm full on, like, my hands going, like, I'm pure nerdy white guy, like, 40-year-old
saying the n-word.
I say the n-word, no problem in the car, you know, like, I don't give it the hard R, you know, I'll say it like they say it, but it's weird, like, I don't even think about it when I'm in the car, but if there's anyone else in the car, I'd be like, I would just mute that version, you know,
just skip that word.
But I was gonna say the fucking Robert Palmer, Bad Case of Loving You, the live version.
Oh, yes.
The more upbeat version. Because that's also got the... And like, that's... Speaking of 80s rock, you know, that sort of... Well,
I don't know.
That one doesn't do it for you?
I mean, I like... You're all about that Robert Palmer. My Robert Palmer is more like...
UB40 Robert Palmer?
You know...
Every kind
I
of
love
me.
Every
I
kind
you
of people.
Son of a bitch.
Do, 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 do. Or, you know, you didn't seem to like it. I love it.
Which one?
This is a fine time.
Yeah, it was,
I love it.
It started off good, and then I was kind of like, I've had enough of that now.
Or, what's the Woke Up Laughing?
Yeah, I like that.
I mean, that's kind of like mine.
I liked, you know, I like Johnny and Mary. I like...
You like Johnny and Mary?
I love, what's the one? Fuck, what's that song?
Mugging yourself off now. Didn't he do the Marvin Gaye one?
Oh, that's I Want the, You.
Yeah.
Amazing version. I've seen him do that live on Arsenio Hall. Not live, but...
You were there?
In the crowd. There's one, I can remember, she She Makes My Day.
Oh yeah, okay.
Fucking love that as well. There's a few of those. I'm like, yeah, big Robert Palmer's man.
If you
doesn't get spoken about enough.
Yeah, I mean,
you know? Anyway,
you know Huey Lewis.
Well. We'll cover that episode down the line.
Top 5 Huey Lewis songs. Great.
Really have our finger on the current pulse.
If you enjoyed listening to us ramble on here, folks, the playlist is going to be in the episode description.
Mm-hmm.
Give it a listen. There's a lot of good stuff there.
A lot of good stuff we didn't even mention, but there's about 40 songs there that me and Terry combined both love to listen to while driving.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you'll discover something. And hey, speaking of discovering something, you like these music episodes? Have I got news for you, pal? Because we've got about 30 top 5 general music episodes. We have a bunch of top 5 episodes over on our Patreon. We've also got What's So Great About the MCU, Ryan Gosling, Big Willie's Flops, Tony Scott movies, and we're currently 90s action, of course, and we're currently covering What's So Great About Heist movies.
Yes, sir.
For $5 a month. And you get two extra episodes. So you get those two extra episodes a month. You get early access to these. And any polls and all that that we do, we host on the Patreon.
You get to choose what we cover on the Patreon.
Simple as
well. We've got 1 week left in the voting for our next mini-series. It's close down to the wire.
Is it? What's that?
I think it's like 4% more for 2019 over 2007.
I've seen them. Change your vote. I've seen these movies. Maybe you like that.
Yeah.
But
well, it might be actually good if you're like, you know what? I didn't like this the first time, and now I love it.
Mm-hmm.
They're all good movies anyway. We're doing a movie year over there. So that'll be the next one on
movie
the Patreon. Yeah. A year of movies.
It's all, okay. I thought you meant like we're doing it this year. We're covering movies. No. I'm like, we're always covering
it's,
movies.
It's 8 years, 8 movies from a particular year.
Yeah. So if you want your say on that, if you are a patron and you haven't voted, get voting.
Right. Now, Andy,
yeah?
If they can't afford the €5 a month
to help
support us over on the Patreon, they can do me something else. They can give me a rating and review. Now, we talked about SNL 50 being there.
Okay.
Now,
okay.
I don't want to be greedy. I don't want a 50-star review, guys. I don't think
that's even possible, to be honest.
Well, you know what I would love? I would love a 5-star review.
How does he do it, folks? Honestly. And hey, You like that? You like that little bit that we do here? You like it on a t-shirt? Well, focus up, folks. Focus up, because I'm about to drop some links your way. The link in the description in our bio on Instagram as merch, and we have t-shirts and mugs with I Want a 5-Star Review. We have Ed Harris. We have Daniel Day-Lewis Peace Tree Dance Award for Best Line Reading and Acting. Particularly proud of that design, to be honest.
It's a great t-shirt. I've got one myself.
And links to more good times in our Instagram bio. Let's put it that way.
Just before we go, I want to say a big thank you to Neil Murray, who does our wonderful theme song. You can find him over on the socials. I think it's Neil Murray Music or WPE is his band there. Keep an eye out for them.
They're amazing, and he's amazing. And it was his idea for the TT Cup last week. So thank you again, Neil. That was a great idea. And if you have an idea, and you're a beloved paying patron, let us know and we'll do it.
Absolutely.
Simple as.
You do the work for us.
Does that sound good?
Yeah.
All right.
Until next week, guys. Stay safe.
Boom.
On my garden gets a snail, that's what it is. The lark upon my garden gets a snail, that's what it is. First there is a mountain, then there is no mountain, then there is. First there is a mountain, then there is no mountain, then there is. Caterpillar sheds its skin to find a butterfly within. Caterpillar sheds its skin to find a butterfly within. First there is a mountain, then there is no mountain, then there is. First there is a mountain, then there is no mountain. Oh, Juanita. Oh, Juanita. Call your name, or the snow will be a blind. to see as it lies on yonder hillside. Look up on my garden gate, a snail, that's what it is. Look up on my garden gate, a snail, that's what it is. Caterpillar sheds its skin to find the butterfly within. Caterpillar sheds its skin to find the butterfly within. Mountain, then there is. First there is a mountain, then there is no mountain, then there is. First there is a mountain, then there is no mountain, then there is. First there is a mountain, then there is no mountain.